Hi, I'm Allison Hess.
And I'm Marta McDonald.
Welcome to the Thousand Islands Playhouse Podcast. Dive in with us as we talk to the artists of the 2023 season
and get a behind-the-scenes peek at the seven fantastic shows happening this summer.
Don't forget to tune in
to give your ears a front-row seat.
See you at the theater! Welcome back to the 2023 season of the Playhouse Podcast. We're recording today on the ancestral lands of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabeg peoples. We are in the MyFM studio, which looks out on the St. Lawrence River, surrounded by the Thousand Islands. My name is Allison Hess.
And I'm Marta McDonald. Thank you so much for joining us for the second episode of the 2023 season, where we talk about our favorite things.
Oh, like long walks on the beach or craft dinner with hot dogs?
I was thinking more along the lines of raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
All right, those favorite things. Now, I'm sure most of our audience now knows exactly what production we're talking about. One of the most popular musicals of all time, The Sound of Music. Now, I'm really looking forward to this one. And rumor has it, Marta, that you were named after one of the characters from the show.
I would like a pink parasol for my birthday. Yes, my parents, my mom is a big musical theater fan and loved The Sound of Music, and she was looking for a name that ended in A that went with my middle name. And she landed on Marta. And so I have been watching the movie and listening to the music since I was 3 months old.
That's amazing. And listeners, now you know a little bit into the emergence of the personality of Marta and how that came to be. Anyways, for those who might not know, for those very few people out there who may not know what about The Sound of Music, here's a short synopsis for you. In 1938 Austria, an exuberant young governess brings music and joy back to a broken family, only to face danger and intrigue as the Nazis gain power. Featuring the cherished songs Climb Every Mountain, My Favorite Things, Do Re Mi, 16 Going on 17, and of course, the title number, The Sound of Music.
Just a fun fact, quickly, yesterday I learned that it's climb every mountain, ford every stream, and I just learned what the word ford meant. I thought it was forge, and I don't know what I thought they were doing, like bailing it out or something, but that's what I thought it was. So that's another fun fact about me. So we're really lucky today to have the talented director-choreographer of this production, Naomi Costain, with us. Welcome, Naomi.
Hello.
Hello. This is the part where we talk a little bit about you and all the amazing things that you've done before this. So you've worked as a director-choreographer and a performer, most recently with us here at TIP, with your debut as Ethel Toffelmeyer in The Music Man, for those who remember. She was the piano player. And then she's also worked in tons of places as a director-choreographer and also extensively as a performer at theaters across the country. Shemanis and Theatre Calgary and Classic and all kinds of places. So we're really excited to have Naomi with us. And you're doing this massive show.
It's a big show.
It's a big show.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and also thank you so much for taking the time, because as we said, Naomi is the director choreographer, so that is two roles in one for the biggest show this season. So we're so thankful that you've taken the time to come and chat with us. As we said, last year was your first year with the Playhouse. How is it being back, but like in a little bit of a shifted role, right? Coming in not just as a performer, but like the captain of this very large ship.
I thought Eric was the captain.
Oh my goodness,
Eric's the captain. Well, yeah, it's definitely a shift. It was a supporting role that I did last year, so I got to sit on the dock and have little moments to myself, whereas this one is just sort of full on the whole time. So, and we started early, you know. This isn't just sort of you start your work a couple of weeks before in your prep as an actor. This is, I think it was, we were casting in the fall, and then the kids we cast all locally from around here in the, what was it, January?
January,
because I was going away to do a show. So, yes, it's been a lot larger process than last year for sure, but I think we have assembled an incredible team of people, not only actors, but also on our first day, we had this huge circle of people in the same room that were all there working on the show. And it was a lot of people in the same room.
Totally. So you, the director choreographer position is a real emerging pairing in the industry right now. I would say it's probably my favorite pairing. I remember when I went to see a show at Sheridan years ago, and I just thought it was this miraculous thing because every move felt choreographed because it was directed by a choreographer. It was director choreographed. You've worked as a choreographer and associate director as well as director choreographer. Why do you think these two things like are often paired together or blend well together?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head where every move can be considered by one person. Now, it was interesting. I was thinking about the answer to this question earlier and thinking how nice it is to have somebody when, as a choreographer working with a director, to bounce ideas off of. But when it's just you, you can flesh those out and fully realize them in the way that you see. And rely on, I have an assistant choreographer and we have an amazing head of the youth ensemble who I can bounce ideas off of, and our stage manager and our amazing music director that I can, you know, touch base with as well to bounce those ideas off of. But I do think that there's something really great about even just the simple thing like a transition where you can pull focus somewhere but have a set change happening that is almost choreographed, mm-hmm. or is choreographed, I should say. So that there's sort of a very fine line between the two.
Yeah, I feel like there's directors who direct musical theater but don't dance that sort of have to find that person that they work really well with, and you're working with yourself. So you just have to be sure you work well with yourself.
Sometimes I don't.
your director brain is like, no, too much dance.
Yes. No, pull that out. Okay.
No, pull that out. No, that's awesome. That's super cool. I know you were talking about sort of not necessarily having to have someone who had to have ideas to bounce off of, but do you think that there are any other sort of challenges that you face with having to do both roles together?
Yes, I think that finding the time in the room with me specifically, because if there's two of you, you can do double duty,
right.
And then have two rooms running at the same time.
Yeah.
Whereas when
you have to do character work at the same,
yes,
at the same time,
character,
yeah,
work, scene work, yeah. And this is quite a big book musical. There's, yeah, a lot of scenes that are very well fleshed out and have a lot of important information. Lots of happens, so. Basically, figuring out when some numbers can be rehearsed in another room with Nikki, our assistant, and I, when to bring them back into the room with me. That's the sort of one little thing that you need to watch out for.
Yeah, just balancing all of that scheduling.
Oh, yes.
Which is why having a great stage manager like Katie Fitzgerald.
Oh, she's amazing.
is a great, great thing.
Yes, and the assistants are great too, yeah.
Yeah. It's really like, and I think as people are listening, you can really understand like what a team event making a show like this is, right? Mm-hmm. You know, which I think is amazing.
And to add on that, yeah. We have sometimes four things happening in the building at the same time.
I was just going to pipe in and say, like, I have seen the daily schedule, and it's, like, a full page, and then it's got, like, four different columns. I'm shouting out to you, Katie. Four, yes, different columns, and it's, like, this is what's happening in the rehearsal hall. This is what's happening in the fire hall studio. This is what's happening outdoors. This is what's happening in this
fittings,
room. And
yeah,
these are all the fittings that are happening, yeah, and it's like looking at a little puzzle that is put together at the end of each day for the next day. Like it's just miraculous to see how much they can put together in one day with that many people working,
yeah,
all simultaneously.
Figuring out who's free. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you're working with some people, then okay, who's not in that scene that we can continue working with? Katie has a great brain for that. And Anthony and I spent quite a bit of time beforehand, particularly with that first week, just trying to iron out, because the first act is 2/3 of the show. So really trying to figure out what we could do in terms of getting the music learned at the same time as while having scene work.
And Anthony is the music director.
Yeah, Anthony Bastianon.
Yeah, who's amazing. And you did the whole first act in 1 week.
We did.
Wild.
We had the kids rehearsing with Allison, who's here with us.
Hello.
She taught all the music to the kids. You probably did it in 6 weeks. It was an 8 weeks worth of rehearsal.
Yeah, 8 weeks worth of rehearsal, but 6 weeks of music. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so that was a huge boon before we started rehearsing for the kids to come with so much information already under their belts. So I think that's the reason we were able to accomplish so much in that first week.
Speaking of, the Von Trapp children are an integral part of the story, The Sound of Music, speaking as Amarta herself. And the kids have all been cast locally.
Yes.
How has it been working with our local group of kids, our Kingston, Brockville, Yanonqua kids?
I love it. I love it. I have to tell you, I have had so many cast members come up and say, these kids are amazing. They are amazing. And we have two casts. So our Liesl is a part of our adult cast, and everyone from Friedrich all the way down to Gretel are local, and they're double cast. So we have two beautiful casts of incredible, very different, and incredible young Von Trapp kids. So I think you're going to be excited to come see it.
Yeah, you'll have to see it twice because you'll have to see each cast, obviously.
Exactly.
I think that also, like, with Allison and you having worked with them in advance, I think it builds their timeline. They're not just showing up mm-hmm. on the few days of rehearsal that they sort of get dropped in when the adults are already there and the adults are rehearsing all day without them. They sort of feel like they came in with their music already learned. So they were a bit ahead, potentially, of some of the adults. And they're like, oh, well, this is my show, actually. Welcome. So they already feel like they're a bit a part of it, you know?
Exactly. Exactly, and yeah. I think it helped them bond as a group
before
we started.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And we talked a lot about not just the music, which can be complicated for mm-hmm. those who have kind of only just watched it for fun. Like, they're singing in three-part harmony at some points, right?
Yeah.
But also, like, talking about, like, what it is to be in a rehearsal hall and what it is to be part mm-hmm. of this cast and how they can be really focused and what they can do to make the rehearsal go smoothly, right? And they really jumped in. So shout out to all of them. They're amazing. And as Naomi said, like, this has been a process with the kids since January. So, yeah. You know, we auditioned and cast. We had over 70 kids, I believe, who came out to audition, which was amazing. Yeah. And we had to whittle it down to 12, which was hard.
It is hard, but yeah. We had a lot of such great kids
well,
that
and
came out.
Especially because you are casting specifically for ages. Like, it's, mm-hmm. you know, when you're casting a youth ensemble, usually it's a bit more generic of, like, we can have, like, 5 13-year-old girls, and that's okay. But for this, you needed 2 8-year-olds, and you needed mm-hmm. 2 approximately 9 to 10 11-year-olds, and you needed 2 12 13-year-olds. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You need to have those accurate ages for the story to be told. So
exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a very hard process whittling those kids down.
It was, yeah. We spent quite a bit of time, mm-hmm. Allison and myself, talking through all the kids after we saw them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's amazing. I also want to shout out, so we have the 12 kids, we have the 17 adult cast members, and then, as you were saying, we have quite a large production and creative team. I think I was trying to count it up yesterday. It's about almost 50 people involved in this production.
Wow.
And Naomi touched on it a bit when we had our first day. We had everyone in the room all at the same time, as well as some of the designers on Zoom, and it was amazing. Yeah. And for a theater this size, it's like quite a large production. You know, Baskerville, it's on stage right now, is a cast of 5, right? Versus... yeah. Like 29, which is amazing.
And, you know, I was thinking about this last night, too, that that's just the people working on this show. That's not the people that are also working at the theater company mm-hmm. for, you know, your box office or all mm-hmm. the both of you.
We have about 50 people, too.
About 50 yeah. people, yeah. And volunteers and
yeah. all. There's probably 100 people working towards The Sound of Music, you know? So come and buy your ticket. Well, you may already be on your way, so get excited. speaking of... I'm sure a ton of you listening have very fond memories of the movie version of The Sound of Music, myself included, obviously, as we spoke to earlier. How do you work that legacy into your creation of this version? Like, this is a totally unique group of people in this time and place in Gananoque, and there is such an attachment to that movie and that story being told by those people. How do you make it your own? How do you make it alive again? How do you make the hills alive again?
Well, I'll tell you a funny thing. I didn't know this, but my mom, a couple of weeks before we started, let me know that I used to watch this nonstop as a child.
Oh my gosh.
But I didn't know because I was so little.
Yeah.
But I purposefully actually didn't watch this before we started because the book musical is actually so different. Mm-hmm. Things are in different orders. There's different songs. Mm-hmm. So that we could bring, I remember certain things that are in my brain, you know, that we all probably remember those touchstones from the movie that just sort of live with us. But I tried to purposefully stay away from it so that I could just come up with my version of it.
Yeah.
And I think that with the cast, we have brought our own life into this with the occasional little nod. 100%.
Well, there was the musical. Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote the musical.
Yes.
And then Hammerstein passed.
Yes, Hammerstein passed away.
And then the movie.
Yes.
And then Rodgers wrote a couple songs for the movie that were then added into the musical, potentially. We have added them into our version. So they're not always in.
Exactly. Yeah, so there are two songs. Can I say?
Of course. Okay. Well, you can't sing them, but you can say them.
You can say them.
No, get people excited. You can say them.
Yeah, so I Have Confidence, which I think is such a beautiful journey that Maria makes from Naumburg Abbey to the Von Trapp Villa. Mm-hmm. We've put back in.
It's with the suitcase and the hat walking down the lane.
It's usually just a very short reprise of My Favorite Things. Sort of a sad minor version of Favorite Things as she's leaving. Very short. So we inserted that song because it's so beautiful. And then also An Ordinary Couple in Act 2, we've replaced with the movie version that's now Something Good, which is, again, just such a beautiful song.
Must have been something good.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. those are two beautiful songs too.
They are.
Yeah,
it's wild to think that. Yeah, just one of the writing partner. Yeah. So Richard Rodgers wrote the music. So he also wrote the lyrics to those too.
Yeah. That's amazing. And that's something, a fun fact that a lot of audience might not know, right? Mm-hmm. If your experience with The Sound of Music is based on the movie, you're kind of like, oh yeah, those are in the show.
And there's very different orders of things too. So you might be surprised by who's singing stuff.
Mm. You'll have to see to find out.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. So one of the things, Naomi, that we love to do on this podcast is talk about something in GAN. We like to give a little local GAN shout out because, as you know, having been here two seasons now, you know, being part of the community in Gananoque is such an important thing for the Playhouse, right? We bring in audiences. The actors are here for, 8 weeks, kind of really becoming part of the community. So we love to give a shout out to places in the community that you've really enjoyed, either whether it's food or shopping or something like that, that you'd love to give a shout out. So what is it for you? What is that place for you in GAN right now?
Can I mention a few?
Oh my gosh, of course.
I had some of the best gelato I've ever had at Pistachios.
Yay.
So thank you to them. And it's a really funky little place, too. I bought the most beautiful smelling candle made by someone local to here at Thousand Islands Trading Company. Mm-hmm. And met Randall there, one of the owners. Beautiful little store, great clothing, too. There's the Stonewater Pub, which has it's just such history in that building. Churchill's is a great place to be. I love British history, so the Country General Store is one of the coolest, funkiest little places.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's a real hidden gem.
Yeah,
you walk past it and you're like, oh, that's cute, and then you go
inside.
And
then you're like, I can get baked goods here too and sit down and shop, and it's great. I haven't been in it, but I think it's called McLove. Every time I go by, I'm like, this is so cool. I can't wait to go in and when I have some time. And then the little vintage store is really super cool on King Street as well.
MC Love, I think is what you mean.
Oh, MC Love. Yeah. Okay, my fault.
MC Love,
I haven't been in yet, but I've been eyeing the window.
Great. Well, those are awesome options. I think it sounds like you've really made some time in Gananoque, and you leave once you open.
I do.
So you gotta relish your time while you're here. Yeah, you'll have to come and see your show again. Make sure they're doing it. Make sure they're doing it up to your standard.
And I feel now like someone could take this podcast and have just like a little afternoon.
Yeah.
Just like following Naomi's recommendation.
Hop around and then see The Sound of Music.
Yeah, and then come see The Sound of Music. You know, start down at Pistachio, have a little shopping, go to the Stonewater, and then come see the show, which is awesome.
Well, thank you so much, Naomi, for coming to join us today. It's so exciting talking about The Sound of Music, and I know everyone is really excited for it. As always, we want to express our special thanks to Mark Hunt for composing the Playhouse podcast music.
This podcast is sponsored and produced by MyFM Gananoque. Many thanks to Carrie and the MyFM team for all their help.
For more ticket information, please visit us at thousandislandsplayhouse.com.
And we'll
see you at the theater.